Joe Hogsett sets the debate terms in the race for mayor of Indianapolis. Chuck Brewer releases his first ad. Todd Young goes on the air in the 2016 race for Senate, and a union launches a TV attack on Mike Pence. That plus a celebration featuring the Unigov mayors. Miss America calls Tom Brady a cheater and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending September 18, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, the candidates for mayor of Indianapolis agreed to two television appearances. One of them is a formal televised debate. Republican Chuck Brewer is seeking 9 debates. Democrat Joe Hogsett is dictating the terms. The two candidates for mayor are taking part in a number of forums, including the Chamber of Commerce Hobnob event seen here. There have been 6 so far, and as many as 4 more are scheduled. The debate that will take place in the Wish TV studio will be similar to the one conducted in 2011 involving Greg Ballard and Melina Kennedy. There will be a less formal joint appearance on another TV station. Here is Hogsett, followed by Brewer.
I think debates are important, and that's why we've agreed to as many as most mayoral campaigns in recent Indianapolis history.
I think at a minimum, we should have one on each of the different 4 network TV stations and one with the Indianapolis Star.
So you're not satisfied?
No, we're not satisfied.
Is one debate enough? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat John Zody, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender, managing editor for the Indianapolis Business Journal, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shello. Mike McDaniel, should Joe Hogsett give Chuck Brewer more opportunities to debate?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I think Joe is starting to believe his press clippings, and he sees himself as a clear front runner here, and he's trying to dictate the terms.
He is a clear front runner.
He is dictating the terms, too, according to your story, which I find interesting. But, you know, he knows that, you know, Goliath had it was a 40-point favorite over David, and he's trying to play the shot clock now. And having one 30-minute debate on a Friday night at 6:30, when every high school in Indianapolis is playing football 16 days before the election. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just a little over the top. I mean, we ought to be talking about the things that are important to this city, and they ought to be doing it in a forum that people are going to see. And even though they've had joint appearances around town, unless you're a member of one of the groups that have invited people to these joint appearances, you don't know about those. You don't know they're going on. Unless you do debates where it's properly promoted, you have a real commentator leading the debate, like you, Jim Shella, who's going to be the commentator on this particular debate.
Moderator,
or whatever, referee, whatever you want to call it. I mean, people aren't paying attention to it unless you do that kind of thing. And it's just wrong that we're not doing more of that to talk about the real issues facing the city.
Joe Hogsett says he's following the playbook that Greg Ballard used 4 years ago. But Greg Ballard was an incumbent. Is that different?
Well, what isn't different are the people running these campaigns. The same people that ran Greg Ballard's campaign are running Chuck Brewer's campaign, and 4 years ago they were just fine with 2 debates. Going off Mike's point, there have been already 6 public discussions held around the city, maybe 3 to 4 more scheduled, maybe another televised debate. Joe Hogsett's been on TV since June talking about issues that are important to Indianapolis. There are plenty of opportunities for people to hear what the candidates have to say. Whether it's a forum or a debate, I think, we'll let those arrangements work themselves out. But I think the Brewer campaign decided to change their perspective from 4 years ago when it was the Ballard campaign.
We saw an awful lot of interest this week in a presidential debate, even in a primary with the Republicans. Is it different in a mayor's race?
Well, of course, because a lot of things are different about the presidential race, which has national attention. And I also am a little disappointed with the presidential debates because they turn into, horse races, and the substance of the issues rarely are revealed. But I do think a mayoral debate is different and much more important to that community because it is smaller, and it is in a time when candidates can take issues very seriously and talk about how they feel about those issues, how they want to have those issues addressed in their potential as mayor. And full disclosure, I'm part of a group that the Mid-North Neighborhoods that was trying to and is still trying to get a debate at Butler University with the candidates. I'm not sure, based on your reporting, that we'll be successful with that. But I think that it ought to be more toward what Chuck Brewer wants to do than what Joe Hogsett wants to do. I wonder what Joe Hogsett's worried about. I understand the politics, the little P politics, the big P politics here, but I think you should have as many debates as possible rather than as few as possible.
Does the public at large care?
Well, it's been a little bit hard for the public to care that much about this race, in part because Joe Hogsett is perceived as being so far ahead that the media, frankly, hasn't done that great of a job of covering the race either. But I also think that the candidates need to do a better job, frankly, of differentiating themselves. They're not talking in the kind of detail that would really help voters understand what they stand for. At the IBJ, we've covered two of the forums that we're talking about, and it's been hard to distinguish between their positions on issues. We're going to continue to cover some of these things, but it sure would help if the candidates get a little more detailed about the kinds of things that they want to see and do for Indianapolis.
Well, I think Joe really is trying to play the shot clock now. I mean, he's down to how many days between now and then.
Isn't that what a smart politician does?
Well, he's trying to do that because he's had experience in a lot of campaigns and he's lost a lot of campaigns. But the problem is once you stop trying to win and trying to keep from losing is when you get yourself in trouble, and that's what he's running up against right now.
He's not trying to keep from losing. He's running a solid campaign. Like I said, been on TV for months, out every single day working to become mayor.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, will you watch a televised mayoral debate? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, show me the highlights. Last week's question, do you support mandatory minimum sentences for gun crimes? 44% said yes, 16% said no, 40% said judges need discretion. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Now, Chuck Brewer came out with his first campaign ad this week. It didn't appear on television. However, it's on the web, and he's trying to raise the money to get this message on the air.
He has served as a Marine for 23 years, including 2 tours in Iraq. Chuck Brewer knows about service and protecting others. As an entrepreneur, Chuck Brewer built 2 successful businesses in Indianapolis. A proud father, Chuck Brewer understands every child needs access to a great education and hope for the future. A leader, he has a plan to make Indy safer, stronger. Chuck Brewer for mayor.
Yeah, that's known as a free play. John Zodi, will that help his fundraising?
Well, probably. I mean, campaigns when they show that they've got ads running, it shows a little bit of momentum. The point here is that it's not on TV yet. I think going back to our discussion just now about debates, he's clearly trying to get his campaign more attention, his candidates more attention by asking for so many debates. He's running like he is the challenger to an incumbent, and so I think it's looking like he is definitely trying to get his campaign more attention. Campaigns do this all the time. They produce an ad whether they want to put it on TV or not. A lot of times it's released prior to that to get it attention and get coverage, and that's what he's doing here.
There are plans, I'm told, to get this on the air within the next week on cable TV at the very least, but it's late.
It is late, but any ad that gets on, especially that one, as good as it is, will be a big plus for him because I think he's got a great story to tell, and once that story is told, I think you're going to see this race change in a hurry because a lot of people out there are trying to figure out who this guy is. They've seen some signs around. They've heard him. They've seen his name in the paper, but they haven't had the exposure that they need to have, and they get this on the air. I think it's going to be a very positive ad for him. And I think it'll generate money, and I think it'll generate interest in this campaign. Because, again, this is a guy who could have picked any city in America to go to. He picked Indianapolis because he thought a lot of good things were happening here, started two businesses, very successful, and cares deeply about what's going on here. And it's a great story. And if he gets out there, I think he's going to have a shot.
Does he have enough time?
It's really tough. I mean, this is one of those sort of chicken and egg kind of things. You don't have enough money, so you can't get an ad on. Then you don't have any ads on, and then people are hesitant to give you money. And, you know, a lot of people are looking ahead to 2016. There's going to be a lot of big races, the governor's race, the Senate race. And so a lot of folks are not really paying that much attention. I think it's going to be hard for him to raise the money to mount the kind of campaign that he would need to be successful this late in the game. But you never know.
Yeah, it... I mean, this has not been a textbook campaign.
Well, for a couple reasons. One is that there is a little differentiation perceived by the public. There just hasn't been enough out there. And there, really the momentum that Mr. Brewer needed to gain back in the spring and build to something now where he would able to have those resources that Leslie talked about really didn't seem to come for whatever reason. I'm sure he was working very hard on it. But he was not able to gain some attraction on that. So I think that's why it seems like it's not a textbook campaign. I do think your observation earlier about the fact that Joe Hogsett's running as a front runner is accurate. And so as a result, and by definition, Mr. Brewer is running from behind. And I just think that he's having a hard time gaining the traction that he needs, especially at this point in the race.
Well, Chuck Brewer's not a career politician. In any way, shape, or form.
I wasn't accusing him of that.
No, that's my point. I mean, he doesn't have a Rolodex of 30 years of political contacts and contributors and
all
that kind of
stuff. But he also has a party infrastructure behind him.
Well, but he doesn't have the advantages that his opponent did after having served his whole life.
But it would appear that he's having trouble winning over some of the party people.
Well, they don't know who he is. That's the problem. He's had to start from scratch getting to know these folks. And the more he gets to know, the better off he's going to be. But it's a tough mountain to climb.
Well, I think one of the things, too, is when you look at the momentum that Joe Hogsett has, you look countywide, and we've got to worry about our races on the city county council. We've got mayor's races in Beech Grove and Lawrence. So the momentum that Joe Hogsett has is going to bring those other Democrats along, too. And I don't know that Chuck Brewer has that momentum behind him with a good party structure.
It'll all be about turnout.
All right. How early is too early? Todd Young ran the first TV ad in the 2016 Republican primary for U.S. Senate this week. It hit the air during the GOP presidential debate.
Debating the problems we face is great, but having the courage to act is even better. I learned that at the Naval Academy and in the Marines. Courage is what it's going to take to protect the unborn, reform our tax code, and repeal Obamacare once and for all. In the Senate, priority one must be the full repeal of Obamacare. If you agree, go to toddyoung.org right now and sign my citizen's petition to repeal it. I'm Todd Young. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message.
John Katzenberger, what's the purpose of that ad?
That ad says, because I can. Todd Young has an impressive campaign war chest. He has run campaigns. We were talking about experience before. He knows how that's done. He saw an opportunity when a lot of Republicans would be focused on what was going on television, and he can do this, and so he did. I think that's exactly what he's doing here. He's saying, I can do this. Good luck trying to knock me off this pedestal.
He's trying to be the Joe Hogsett of the Senate race. I mean, he wants to go into the Senate, the Republican primary, as the presumed front runner. And by doing something like this, he sets himself up. He reinforces the idea already that he has a lot of support and he has a lot of money.
And he's trying to use this to help his fundraising as well.
Well, I think it was a clever buy. I mean, he knew that Republicans in particular were going to watch that presidential debate. I thought it was clever, but the problem is when you buy one spot over 200 days before the primary, that seems to get lost in the other media clutter that's going on out there.
Wasn't all that clever a message either.
Well, I thought the message
is there,
was okay.
Is there anybody in that primary who's for Obamacare?
I thought the message was solid. Well, you got to remember, he is talking to the Republican primary base here, so that was the message was right on. But look, you know, it was smart to do it. It was clever to do it, I should say. You know, it's generated a lot of buzz, and that's what he was after, and it worked.
I think he's trying to be the Marlon Stutzman in this primary. Todd Young is my member of Congress. I've watched his politics for 5 years now. What he tried to do, and it's real funny, when he talks about Obamacare, you heard, I think, two or three times in there, repeal, 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 nothing about replacement. He is going, it's like watching a tennis match, going back and forth to see how he goes to the right, tries to go back to the middle, tries to go to the right. He is trying to out-conservative the other Republicans in this race by going hard line, talking about all the things that all the people watching the Republicans.
He's worried about being labeled a moderate.
Well, he's actually labeled, if you Google Todd Young now, what it says is conservative Todd Young.
Yeah.
That wasn't there a month
ago. It's a 30-second ad. It's kind of like, you know, you can't talk about everything in a 30-second ad.
No, but he didn't talk
it's
about
it. It's kind of like a 30-minute debate.
He has forgotten the replace. So what he wants to do is just take everything away, repeal Obamacare with no solutions. That's what he's trying to do here.
All right. If it's early for 2016 ads, it's really early for attack ads. But there's one on the air in the race for governor. It was produced by the International Association of Operating Engineers.
The I-65 detour in West Lafayette, site of several fatal crashes.
A string of deadly accidents.
12 crashes since the detour started.
Deadly consequences of the neglect of just one Indiana bridge. 2,000 more are structurally unsound. And Governor Pence's priority?
Hold the line on spending.
Our agencies are funded at appropriate levels.
With $2 billion in excess reserves, Governor Pence has no plan to prevent further road disasters. Tell us, Governor Pence, how many lives is your surplus worth?
Leslie Weidenbender, does that message make sense at this point on the calendar?
I actually think it's not so much a negative campaign ad as much as it is a sign. I mean, it is negative, Mike. But I'm saying
it's pretty harsh.
But I think
it's hard to say.
What I'm saying is, I don't think it's about the governor's race as much as it's about sending people, the Republicans, a signal that they better do something in the next session to start spending money on roads and transportation and solving the. I think it's about sending a message.
I think it's got something to do with the fact that Mike Pence is vulnerable and they want to kick him when he's down.
Well, I'm not sure that it's a matter of kicking while you're down. I think it's a matter of kicking. There's no question about that. And that's one of the things that startled me when I saw this. We talk about timing. You know, it was right at the very beginning of the Colts game, and it's an away game, so everybody that cares about the Colts was watching. Big audience around certainly central Indiana, but I'm guessing all over the state. So it was well-timed. And second, it was brutal in terms of the way it presented the facts in the case and clearly went after the governor on his record. And I think that, you know, we've seen, if you want to, you can say that was the beginning of the campaign for 2016.
Well, it's bought by a union that would benefit from more road construction, but they're using your talking points, aren't they?
Well, because the talking points are a reality here. The governor and just over 2 years has put the things we're known best for in jeopardy, Crossroads of America and Hoosier Hospitality. When you look at, you're correct, the operating engineers do a lot of that road work. And when you see, when you have an entire vein of traffic, when you can't get from Indianapolis to the third largest city in the country because a bridge is closed, that impacts a lot of people. State Road 156 down in the Ohio River fell into the river 2 months ago, down to one lane. There are problems all over the state. In addition to the 2,000 bridges, this governor is ignoring the problem. And the operating engineers have aptly pointed that out.
Will this hurt the governor?
First of all, this is a post-right-to-work revenge ad from a labor union. And it's based on a lie, for starters. This bridge had a problem because they were in the process of adding on to the bridge, and the contractor
new construction
hit into an artesian well. You know, I don't know about artesians. You grew up in Martinsville. And that's what happened here. So it wasn't a matter of neglect. It was a matter of routine replacement of that bridge and expansion of that bridge. So that in itself is a lie. But here's what's important about this, and I somewhat agree with John. This is the start of the campaign. And the message received here, I hope, is that they're going to see more and more of this kind of attack stuff from everybody, and they better be ready to answer it, because last time they weren't willing, and they didn't, and that's why that race tightened up at the end. This time they better answer when they can, because this is the kind of stuff you're going to see throughout the rest of this campaign.
Well, if you see a message this tough now, how tough is it going to get next year?
Well, this tough now, I mean, this was clearly produced, you know, Washington, D.C. production, kind of a house situation. And that's the message that they're going to try to put out there. But on the other side of this, the whole argument about the surplus cracks me up, because if you add up all of the programs that the Democrats said we ought to spend money on instead of keeping the surplus, you blow through the surplus and you're now into tax increases. So you can't have it both ways. So they're going to make that argument throughout this campaign. And I think when he makes the argument that we're fiscally sound, more people are working than ever before in our state, that we're going to have a good message to tell, and he's going to be in good shape come fall next year.
Well, what you have, when you talk about tax increases, you've got a Republican state representative admitting in the paper a few weeks ago that they're beholden to special interests. They've signed this no tax pledge. So they're in a quandary where they don't know what to do about whether to spend surplus or future budget money, or to look at a tax increase that would help build more roads and keep the and remedy the 2000 bridge problem that we have here in the state, where these bridges are deficient. So you've got the Republican supermajority not willing to prioritize anything, and as a result, here's what's happening.
Tax and spend, that's what you're all about.
All right, please.
Five mayors of Indianapolis gathered in one room this week to talk about progress. 50 years of progress was the theme of an event celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee, known as GIPSI. Richard Lugar, Steve Goldsmith, Bart Peterson, and Greg Ballard were there, along with Bill Hudnut.
Way in which the city has progressed is a testimony to the fact that we have had a succession of fine people in the mayor's office who have made strong commitments to the city and helped it along.
Mike McDaniel, how do you rate the leadership that Indianapolis has had since the adoption of UniGov?
Spectacular. We have an absolutely wonderful city, and it's because each mayor has built on the progress made by the previous mayor, and that goes from Republican to Democrat back to Republican again, and we've been blessed with good people to do that job and outstanding leadership. And each one of those people took what they received and had a vision for how to build on it, and that's what we've got at stake in this mayor's race. And I hope that we're going to have an opportunity to hear from both of these candidates for mayor about what they really want to do to move this city forward. It's not enough to just nibble around the edges anymore to keep the kind of momentum that we have in Indianapolis. So we've been blessed with great leadership here. We've had outstanding mayors, and this is a great city to be proud of.
I was honored to moderate that event, and I got to tell you, it was a pretty impressive lineup of figures. Murray Clark, who was the is the chairman of GIPSI, said it was like being at a Hall of Fame event.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling someone today when I worked in the governor's office, one of the coolest moments or times to work there was when the former governors would come and all together, Republican, Democrat, and just gather together, tell stories, just interact with each other. As a younger staffer, that was cool to see. You have Doc Bowen, Bob Orr, Whitcomb, all these guys, and the same with the mayors. You've got 50 years of leadership here that is truly a thing that people should treasure.
I think it's important, because this is seen around the state, that people in Indiana understand the importance of the relationship between Indianapolis and the rest of the state. Too often this is cast as Indianapolis and then the rest of the state. They're all interconnected, and one of the things that the legislature did in the early 70s was a very progressive means with UniGov that allowed this kind of growth to happen, and you had good people do it. We need to have that around the state, and that's why a regional approach is important.
All right, finally, Miss Georgia, Betty Cantrell, is the new Miss America. She won a pageant that included a question and answer session where she was asked about Deflategate. Here's her response to the question, did Tom Brady cheat?
Did he cheat? That's a really good question. I'm not sure. I think I'd have to be there to see the ball and feel it and make sure it was deflated or not deflated. But if there was question there, then yes, I think he cheated. If there was any question to be had, I think that he definitely cheated, and that he should have been suspended for that. That's not fair.
John Zodi, do you think she's a Colts fan?
I just want to take this time to compliment Mike on a snappy tie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Tom Brady's a cheater.
Tom Brady's a cheater.
By the way, Tom Brady's a cheater.
She articulate enough to be Miss America?
Sure, yeah. I mean, she came to the right conclusion. It took her a little while there, but she came to the right conclusion. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Will we ever hear the end of Deflategate?
No.
Not here in Indy.
No.
Or in, I must say, our friends in New England have a propensity to keep bringing it up again and again. They talk about not being able to let it go.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat John Zodi, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the Indianapolis Business Journal, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.